this morning we have a very special treat for us. Pastor Dana Neal is going to be bringing the word for us. Yes, welcome back, Pastor Dana, up. So I don't know, Dana's been serving here for 11 some years, and if you have never had a chance to hear Pastor Dana teach the word, you're in for a real special treat. So please, let's open up our hearts and our minds to the word of God.
Amen. Good afternoon. How are you guys? Good. Are you guys excited about serving the Lord? Well, that sounds kind of weak. Are you guys excited about serving the Lord?
Yes.
Okay, much better. Well, as you know, Mike is sick, and very sick, so he's not feeling very well at all. He was supposed to teach today. So he texted me yesterday as Melody and I were driving around. And he says, I'm really sick. Can you prepare in case I can't make it? And I looked at it, and so I text him back, okay, I'll pray for you. And Melody says, you're not answering the question. And the real reason is because I wasn't sure if it was a prank or not, you know? Well, we do play a lot of pranks. I'm going to share one in just a minute. But so I finally felt guilty, and I texted him back and said, sure, I will prep. He said, thank you. And, you know, I'm really sick. And I said, okay, no problem. And now I'm going, uh-oh, now what do I do? Well, I prepare, right? One of the things we're going to talk about is how we allow situations in this world to affect us and rob us of the joy of the Lord in our lives. And that's the focus of what we're going to see here. Now, Mike, I got to admit, I said I was going to talk about a prank, and I am. You know, a number of years ago, before we had our interns, I was looking at our carpeting, and it was very messy. And I was embarrassed because the servanthood who were coming in, I didn't want them to think bad of us, you know, here. So I got out the vacuum cleaner, and I started vacuuming around and picking up stuff, and then Mike was in his office studying. I go, aha. So I opened up the door, and I stuck the vacuum cleaner in there, and I started vacuuming around. And then I left it there, right by his elbow, and I walked out. And I thought, oh, that's going to get him. And I waited, and I waited. Nothing happened. What? So I opened up the door and I peeked in, and there he is, still studying with his vacuum cleaner going on right next to him. Didn't even faze him. So I went in there and grabbed the vacuum cleaner, came out, you jerk, you know. There were a lot of pranks. A lot of the pastors were playing pranks on me this morning already, getting ready. I won't mention any names, like Pastor Tim, you know. Pastor intern Nick, you know, and I'm getting excited. Okay, what are we going to do about it? And gotcha. So that's what we do. We have fun. There's nothing wrong with having fun. Okay, and I want you to understand that as a Christian, we have fun, but there's also an opportunity for us to be able to minister to people, and the enemy is going to attack us. And situations, circumstances are going to come against us. Now, we can all think of those. Could be job-related. It could be car-related. It could be sickness. It could be anything. There are going to be times coming. Now, how we deal with those things is what I want to talk about this morning. How we let them affect us. Till we're in a position that we're no good for anything. And out of this, we're going to see this You can open up your Bibles to Numbers 20. We're going to be in Numbers 20, verses 1 through 12. Okay, there's three things I'm going to bring out in this. Number one is our faith in the Lord. Number two is our humbleness in the Lord. Are we humble when we go to Him? And number three, are we trusting in the Lord and whatever He says or whatever's going on in our lives? Now, those are three good categories that we can put before us. Now, we're going to look at Moses and how he handled each of those things. And we're going to look at how he failed and how he did kind of good and how he went forward. Now, first of all, we know about Moses. He is the most humblest man that walked on the earth at that time. Well, how do you know that? Well, because I'm going to give you lots of scriptures, and I'm going to repeat them twice so you can write it down, because I didn't have time to put everything on a whatever they call it. Okay, Numbers 12:3. Now, the man Moses was very humble, more than all the men who were on the face of the earth. Okay, that tells us right there that Moses was one. So there's something about his personality that we want to glean from, and we want to take from it, and we want to apply it to our lives. So let's talk about Moses for a little bit. Okay, now Moses, remember, spent about 40 years as a prince of Egypt. I'm sure you guys know that from watching the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. You saw that, but, you know, really you can read it in the Word and you can see that was basically true. Not all of it, but he did spend a long time as a prince. So he was trained by the greatest nation in the world. He was educated. He was a builder. He could build things. He could do all these things. He was really a very prideful man. Sometimes we're like that too. And women, we get prideful in what we're doing. And then Moses spent the next 40 years as a sheep herder, wandering around in the desert. Now, what you got to know about sheep herders is in the Egyptian culture, they are hated by the Egyptians. And this is where he came from, as a prince. They won't even talk to a sheep herder. Matter of fact, remember when Joseph brought his family to Egypt? He introduced his family as cattlemen. They took care of cattle. And Pharaoh at that time came down and talked to him. But when he found out that they were a sheep herder, he never, ever, there's nothing written in history or in the Bible that he ever talked to Joseph's family after that time. See, they're really against that. And here, Moses went from here to here. Okay, and then after that, he gets to find the Lord, the burning bush, you know the story. And he ends up being the leader of Israel for just about the next 40 years. Okay, so Moses, at this time this is happening, is 120 years old. Okay, so you would think he has some smarts. You know, he's been around for a while. He's had situations come up. He's dealt with them. We've read about them. But also, he was what we call the senior pastor of a congregation of 3.2 million people. Can you imagine leading that many people? That's got to be huge. But here he was leading, he was taking care of, and you can read the stories on. So you would look at him at this age that he's got it under control. He knows what to do. He knows how to handle himself. He's got all the right answers. He actually walks and talks with God. Wow, he goes up on the mountain and spends days up there, comes back down, and the people can't even look at him because he's been in the presence of God. So you would think this man would be in control. Sorry, just a minute. I didn't shuffle my notes. I didn't know where to go when I went from 1 to 10. Okay. I wondered where this part was. I was waiting for this one. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now, I want to share this with you because I want you to get your mind around this. 1 Corinthians 10:11, it says, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to praise you and thank you. We surrender to you. Lord, we just put our hearts and our minds into you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Admonition, what it's talking about right there is the word means instructions or calling attention to. The Greek word that describes it is nousipim. And it just means the same thing, instructions and drawing attention to. Okay, the reason why I bring that out is for you guys to understand what Paul is talking about is everything in the Old Testament we can't just write off. We need to pay attention to it. We need to listen to it. And we need to apply it to our lives. So I start that off to let you know that's why I'm in Numbers 20. And as we start in Numbers 20, verse 1, we'll go through this so you can apply it to your life. Verse 1, "Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation," that means everybody, "came to the wilderness of Zin in the first month. And the people stayed in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there." Okay, so now we get a history of where they're at. They've been traveling around the wilderness, and now they're coming to a point. This is at the end of Moses. They're coming to the point that they're going to enter into the promised land. They actually enter there in about 8 months from now, but they're right here. So the first thing we're going to look at is the number one is faith in the Lord. We see here where Moses has faith in God. He has faith in what's going on, what he's doing. So that's a good thing. What about us in our lives? Do we have faith in God? Do we trust him in the things? Do we humble ourselves? Let's go to verse 2. "Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron." Okay, so let's stop right there. And we're going to look at gather together. Now, this is important structure of words. You look at that and you say, they're going to have a barbecue. Oh, they're just going to get together. But actually, the Greek word for gathering together is kalha. And it means to war. To go to war. So now we see the moods. We see what's going on in the congregation, and they're really going after Moses. They're upset. Exodus 32:1 is another time that word is used. It says, "Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron." and said to him, "Come, make us a god so that we can go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what had become of him." Now see, this is at a different time, but this is where they're gathering against Aaron. And now this is where Aaron created the golden calf. So you can kind of understand the pressure that must have been on Aaron. Moses wasn't around, and they're coming, they're gathering at him. They're ready to go to war. And so Aaron comes up with this story. He tells Moses, "I just threw it in a fire and it came out a calf." You know, that's pretty weak. You know, we could think of stories like that pretty easy. But in their defense, you know, they're ready to take him apart. He's ready to destroy him. And also, during this time, they are ready to be stoned. And we know that because I got another scripture here, is Exodus 17:4. Exodus 17:4, it says, "So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, 'What shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me.'" Wow. So here they are. This is what he gets. Now I'm painting this picture of what Moses is going through. And it's important that we understand the factors, the stress modes of what they're going through, because I'm going to want to identify that with us as we go along. Numbers 14. Okay, number 14:10. "And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meetings before all the children of Israel." So this is another time they were going to stone them. But the power of the Lord came from the tabernacle to rescue them. Okay? Now that's important to understand, because we're going to talk about that, about God in our life and everything that we do and everything that we say. You're going to see how we come together with that. Now let's go down to verse 3. "And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, 'If only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord.'" Okay, the key word there is contended. Contended, the Greek word is rev. Okay? And I really worked on putting that R and everything together. Okay? And what it means is to strive with physically. Okay, so now we see coming, surrounding them, and then we also are seeing contended. We're seeing what they're up against. Exodus 17:2 says, "Therefore the people contended with Moses and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.'" That's another time that they're contending with Moses. So now we're going to go to verse 4. "Why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into the wilderness that we and our animals should die here?" Okay, now they're complaining to him. They're getting hostile. They're getting fearful. They have no water. What is going on? And now they're complaining. Now, we got to focus on animals. Animals represents needs at this time. Okay? Now, we have an animal at home. We have a dog, little Yorkie named Shelby. Now, no matter what I do, I can't make Shelby mow the lawn or wash the car. She's just not going to do it. Everything is all about Shelby. She's a pet. But at this time, these are not pets that they're talking about. What they're talking about is our animals, is our needs. It's what we need. It's our fur. It's our livestock. It's our milk. It's all these things that we need in order to exist. Okay, so now let's look at our lives. What is that to us? It's our electric bill. It's our rent. It's our car payments. It's all the things that we need to go forward, to be able to minister, to do things. And that's our society. So God, they're asking God to rescue them and to come and help them and their needs. So keep that in mind as we go forward. Exodus 3:7 says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sorrow." You see, they're coming to him and they're saying, "Why have you doing this? Why are we leaving? Why are we going here? Why didn't you just leave us in our own home? Leave us back with Egypt." But what they're saying in Exodus 3:7 is they're crying out to the Lord. And they're saying, "Rescue me." And Lord rescued them. Verse 5, "Why have you made us come out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is not a place of grains or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink." Okay, look at their complaint. Look at how they're looking at things. There's nothing here. What you promised us, we're not going to be able to have. Do we do that? Do we do that at times when we look at things? "Lord, what are you doing? What can you do? Here's what I need, Lord." Or are we trusting in God? Verse 6. "So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly." Okay, now, got to remember, they're wanting to stone them. They're contending with them. I would imagine I would want to get away from 3.2 million people too. To get away and to go on. And so what does he do? He goes to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. This is the first fundamental action that we have, that we can do to trust God, to have faith in God, and to humble ourselves before. You see, he went to the tabernacle because that's where God was. That's where God lived in that time. Now, God lived in the Holy of Holies, stayed there in the Holy of Holies, and once a year the high priest would come in. We know that because Exodus 40:34 says, "Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meetings, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." Wow. There he is, right there. And so they went to where the Lord is. So let me ask you a question. When things happen, situations, circumstances, where do you go? Do you go to fix it, find a reason, take care of it? Or do you go to the Lord? You see, this is what Moses did. 1 John 4:16 says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." Well, that's huge. See, he knew where to go. "These guys, I'm going to go." Do we know that? You know, I know a lot of times I just try to fix stuff. Or, you know, a lot of times I don't pray about it. I just take action. And we need to more just take it before the Lord and see him. You know, sometimes we we do things that we think we're kind of smart on. Okay, so this week I decided to press a couple shirts, get them all ready, and I don't know, I just felt the Lord told me to do that, so I did it. And they looked really good. And I don't know why I did that. I guess I did that for next week. And then Saturday, I hear from Mike. Mike, can you teach? Oh, I got the shirts all ready to go. So I put the shirts in there, and I thought, okay, I'm hearing from the Lord. And so I got them, and Melody says, I don't know if those are the right shirts to wear. You know, you're going to have to suck in your belly if you wear those. I don't want to do that. So I go in there and I get another shirt. I take it out early this morning and I'm ironing the thing and I get it all ready. And I set it up there and get ready. Okay, I got that ready. Boy, I got this under control. And then I sit down and I'm studying what I'm going to talk about. And this is early in the morning. We're talking 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. And Facebook comes on and I look at it, and it's a picture of me saying that I'm going to teach, and had my lovely wife with me. And I had the same shirt that I'm wearing right now. And I said, oh no, I got to go get another shirt. So I go into the closet, I wake Melody up, and I'm looking for a shirt, and I bring out the wrong shirt, and I go back, and I come out. She goes, just wear it. And so I did. But my point to that is I was trying to take care of everything. I can do it. It's time that we need to learn to trust God and just give it to God. Here I thought I was so smart. I got one pressed early. Okay, I already knew what the Lord was going to do. Got it ready. That's so much what we do. Okay, now, number two is to humble ourselves in the Lord. Do we? You know, Moses was the most humblest man that walked on the earth. We read that, right? But look what he did. Here's the second part, right? He went to the Lord. In other words, he went to the tabernacle. And it says that he fell on his face. Wow, bam. Now, is that what we do? When things go wrong, when things get up, when things are just wearing us down, what do? Or do we go to the Lord and do we fall on our face? Lord, I don't know what to do with this. Help me. Now, if we do that, we're going to see two things that happens. And it comes directly from where we're at in Numbers 20. The first thing is, the glory of the Lord appeared to Moses and Aaron. So get this. This is so cool. They come down, they fall on their face, and they're humbled themselves before the Lord. The glory of the Lord comes out of Holy of Holies and poof, right there. Now, wouldn't you like that to happen to you? It will. Now, what happens next? Verse 3. Then the Lord spoke to Moses. Okay, so get the picture here. They do two things. They take it before the Lord. They humble themselves before the Lord. The Lord comes to them and tells him what to do. And we're going to see that in just a minute. Okay, now, why am I talking about, well, that happened back then? No, it's the same thing today, guys, church. Right now, the same thing. We can come to the Lord. We can fall on our knees. We can humble ourselves before him. God will come to us and speak to us by the Spirit power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and he will teach us and he will guide us. The same thing. We have that same ability now that Moses had back then if we utilize it, if we call upon it. Wow, that's huge, huh? That is just amazing to me that we can do that. We just don't do it. Verse 8. Now, remember, he's telling him what to do. Here's what he tells him to do. Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together. Now, would you like to do that when you just got away from them and they threatened to kill you or stone you? They just got away, they went to the Lord, and the Lord says, go back there and talk to him. Oh, man, tough. Both Aaron and gather the congregation together. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. And thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and animals. Problem solved. Right there, God answered it. Do the same thing for us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Problem solved if we will allow him. And I hope this encourages you today, because it sure encouraged me when I'm re-going over this, looking at this. Now, the reason why it will happen is because of Hebrews 13:8. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. That means God is going to do, he may do things a little bit differently, but he's going to be there for us. He's going to minister to us. Okay, so Moses gets ready. Verse 9. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. Good job, Moses. He's following what God has said. He took the rod. Okay, I've got the handle on this. Let's go. Verse 10. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, hear now, you rebels. Where did that come from? Now, this is 120-year-old Moses, walked with God, talked with God, seeing it all. Something happened in his mind right there. Something affected him. And here he is. He's just going, you rebels. That's not what God told him to say. He told him exactly what to do, just to take the rod, speak to the rock, water will come out, done deal, everything's happy. But no, he couldn't do that. And then he says, must we bring water for you out of the rock? You see that word we? It's not capital. It's lowercase. That means he's talking about himself and Aaron. Must we bring this water out? Look what I've sacrificed. What? Again, what happened to Moses? You see, the same thing will happen to us if we get our eyes off of God and on to our circumstances. And I'm not saying, you guys, you know, I know it's not hard. This year has been one of the hardest years for me. I've had to keep my eyes on God for the circumstances that Melody and I are going through. You know what they are, and I know some of you here are going through those things. But the difference is to keep our eyes upon Jesus, the rock, which we're going to come to in just a minute. You know, our mind is kind of plays funny tricks on us sometimes. You know, and we can see Moses right here. We could see his mind being altered Well, this week ago, I went golfing with my wife. And we were having a good time, and we were playing golf and just relaxing, enjoying it. The weather was perfect. You know, the ducks and the geese were running around. We could see the squirrels run out. We're just having a blast. And we finished the front nine, and I came in at 36, six over par. Does anyone know what par means? Raise your hands. Okay. Oh, more in this than the other. Okay, for the ones that you don't know, is par is what they set on the course per hole that it's going to take you to get the ball into the hole. So a lot of them are three or four or five. And so if you get it in on a, when it says three, then you've parred that hole. Okay, if you don't, then you're a plus. And that's why on the front nine, I ended up with a plus six. The par was 30. I ended up with 36. Oh, I was having fun. So then we started the back nine. We're still having fun, watching the geese, the squirrels, hitting the ball, just enjoying each other, having fun. Where are we going to go to dinner? What do you want to do afterwards? You know, Mom was away, so we were having fun. And then I got to the 16th hole, finished it, and I had time before I teed off on the 17th, and I'm just sitting there. I'm just relaxing. And I'm looking down at my card, and I go, whoa, there's a lot of pars there. I wonder how many pars there are. So I counted them up. Whoa, I'm one under par. I got two more holes to go on. I'm one under par. The whole game changed. This is what happens to us when we get our eyes onto other things. I started second-guessing the club I'm going to use. Okay, where am I going to tee off? I got to get the right spot. Get these ducks and geese out of here, you know? What is going on? And just for two more holes. You see, my mind, I look differently at things. I still had fun with it and everything. But it's what happens in our minds that we allow other circumstances, other situations to influence us. Verse 11. By the way, I did come in one under par. Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with the rod. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation and the animals drank. Wow. He struck it twice. What did God tell him to do? Speak to the rock, right? What happened to Moses? What is he doing? This is Moses. He's 120 years old. He's walked and he's talked with God. He's seen everything. The rock. 1 Corinthians 10:4 says. 1 Corinthians 10:4. And all drank of the same spiritual drink, and they drank of the spiritual rock that flowed followed them, and the rock was Christ. You see, this is what's symbolic, what God was trying to say. The rock is Jesus Christ. The rock in our lives is Jesus Christ. We have to understand that's our stability. That's what we're going to stand on. We're not going to stand on the sand. We're going to stand on the rock. And Moses took that away and struck that rock. Now, in his defense, remember earlier in Exodus 17:6, it says, "Behold, I will stand before you, and there on the rock of Hebron, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, that the people may drink." Now, that was the first time where God told him to strike the rock, but this time he didn't. You see, the rock is symbolic. It's symbolic of Jesus dying up on the cross. The first hit was meaning that Jesus was going to take a hit. He was going to be crucified on the cross for you and I, so we can always go before the Lord and he can minister to us. We could take everything to him. It was for that reason. John 14:14 says, "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of living water springing up into everlasting life." That rock that he struck, our rock is Jesus, and we will never thirst when we have that rock, when we're going to that rock of Jesus Christ. And the power of the Holy Spirit will come back and teach us, mold us, make us into the man and woman of God that he wants us to be. But again, there's that decision. There's situations that are going to come our way. There's going to be heartaches. There's going to be trials and tribulation. Are we going to be able to go to Christ? Which brings us to our third point, which is our first one was faith in God, humble ourselves, and the third one is trusting in the Lord. Do you in your life and in your walk trust the Lord? Okay, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I give it to you. Trust the Lord and see what he does and listen to him. John 14:14 says, "I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation is my stronghold." Is that you in your walk with the Lord? Is the rock, is Jesus your stronghold that you're going to hang on to? Or is it the one that you're just going to, you're going to hit? You're going to clip. You're going to lose what God is trying to do in your life. Even though Moses didn't do it right, he didn't, God still gave water to the congregation and the animals, which represents our needs. Okay, so no matter, he's sitting there, he saw Moses do it. He told Moses what to do. Moses went and did it. He knew what he was going to do. He let him do it. And he still brought water out of that rock. That's our God. And our God is going to do the same thing for you. He knows you're going to make mistakes. You're going to get hurt. You're going to, "Oh, Lord, I can't do this anymore. I got to walk away." But where is your rock? He knows that about us. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. This is after it's all done and he did it and he went ahead and he says, "Because you did not believe me." He's talking to Moses and Aaron. "Because you guys didn't believe of what I was going to do." Moses and Aaron, how could you not believe what everything you've seen and done? Their minds got focused on the situation, on the circumstances, on the people, and they lost it. "Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children, You know, you took credit for it. You didn't allow me to do this so the children of Israel could go, whoa, look at God. He just brought water out of the rock. You took that away from me, Moses and Aaron. You hallowed me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I had given them. Wow. I mean, this is the one ministry Moses had. His whole life was to get the people of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land, and now he's not going to be able to do it. It's over with. It's done for. Didn't believe in God. So many times we do the same things. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. I've done it lots of times, you know, not just panic mode, but this is what happens. Our mind, that's how the enemy works, will get our mind looking on situations, circumstances, and people until we can't see God. We can't see the rock and to trust him. Verse 13 says, this was the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel contended, there's that word again, with the Lord, and he was hallowed among them. They didn't see really who he was. And I challenge you this week and the next month, do you really see who God is? I know who God is in my life. I've seen him. He's done so many miracles in my life since I was 17 years old that I just go, whoa, what is that? And he does. And sometimes they don't work very well. And, oh, wow, Lord, where are you? But the key is, in our mind, giving it to the Lord. Here's the bottom line. This is the bottom line of everything that I just said here. Moses and Aaron allowed the people to influence them. It'd be hard not to. 3.2 million people wanting to strangle you or stone you. Or the circumstances to influence them. Or the people did. And all we can do is we are to take this, according to 1 Corinthians 10:11, to learn from that and apply what happened to our lives and say, no more, I'm not me. I'm going to go. I'm going to trust him. How many times do we allow people or circumstances or situations to influence us as we walk with the Lord? Now, don't be quick to judge on this. How about, you know, when you come home from work and you've had a rough day and I can't do my Bible study now. I'm just too stressed out. Or family devotion. Or I'm not saying you have to do family devotion every day. I'm just saying, what is going on? Or you come home and you watch the television the whole time, or whatever. Maybe, I don't think it's Super Bowl. It happens once a year. What is it that goes on? I do know that with me, it was sports. When I was a young pastor, there's sometimes I couldn't, this was a long time ago, I couldn't wait to get out of church so I could go home and watch football. And I was so wrapped up in it that I had to stop watching it. I stopped it for many years. I've only recently got back into it, about 3 years ago. And it's only because I keep it under control. I don't let it control. control me. I don't allow the situation to move me or mold me. How many times? So let's look at these three things. What about us? Do we have faith in the Lord to trust Him no matter what's going on? How about, do we humble ourselves before the Lord? Do we fall on our face before Him when a situation happens or what's going on? And are we able to trust Him? Okay, Lord, whatever you're going to do, I'm going to trust you. I may not like it. I may not understand it. But I'm going to trust you. I encourage you guys to keep that in mind. To think about what I've talked about. Sometime read this again and go through and see how Moses made his mistake. How things are going on, and how we just don't follow the Lord with it. You will be forgiven. God will forgive you. And it's beautiful to be able to go to Him and say, God, I'm sorry. I really goofed up. I got to do that, you know. And okay, I want to try better, Lord. And God ministers to you. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just want to praise you and thank you. Oh, Lord, I give you the glory. I give you the praise for who you are in our lives. And Lord, so many times as we learn from Moses, we can get ourselves so caught up in a situation, in a circumstance, or with people, that we lose it. Lord, help me not to be able to do that. So, Lord, we just surrender to you. We give to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.